We're almost there. We still have some kids out, some people circling around. If you have your Bibles, you may stand. We're going to read two scriptures, and then we'll be seated. Jesus. The first one is going to be in Proverbs. We're going to start in 6. Proverbs 6. Thank you, Jesus. 6 verse 19 is not where I want to start, but I want to start in verse 16. 6:16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I'm starting in verse 16 again. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Turn with me if you will. I'll take the brother. I'll put it over here. Thank you. You're good. Still in verse 6. Verse 19. Reads this way, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And the title of this message is Stop Lying. Stop lying. I was in a family meeting. I know you're standing. I was in a family meeting. And I don't mean my immediate family, my extended family. We were discussing some property that we owned, and we were working in it. And my brother, my eldest brother, stood up, and he looked me right in my face. And he said, you're a liar. I was so hurt. I said, I'm a liar? No one's ever called me that before. But I need you to understand very clearly, if you're not speaking the truth to your brother or your sister, if you're not speaking the truth to God when you're in your prayer closet, you're a liar. And I've come to find you out so that you can see yourself for who you are. Because we've got to stop lying. It's so important because, see, it will determine how far you go with God. Let's pray. Just bow your heads for a moment and say, Father, anything that's in me that's not like you, reveal it to me. Anything that's not like you, Father, I pray that you begin to just reveal it to me by your Spirit. Your word said that you came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I know that lying will cause us to be lost. So we've got to stop lying to ourselves. We have to stop lying about our circumstances and our situations. Stop lying about our struggles. Stop pretending that everything's okay, that everything's just right. My pastor even asked me when I came into service today, he says, everything all right? And I looked him right in his face and I said, yeah, everything's, yeah. It's so easy to lie. It's so easy to just let it fall off your lips because you can become accustomed to not speaking the truth. You may be seated. It's scary when you get caught. I don't know if you guys have ever been caught doing anything. It's so scary to get caught. Lord, I don't want to share this story. It's so scary to get caught. It really is. Doing anything that you know that is wrong because you already are afraid. And it's not exciting, but it's something that makes you afraid. But see, when you are born again of God's Spirit, he has an expectation that you will walk with him in truth because after a certain amount of time, you begin to realize that he knows everything. There is nothing that you can hide from God. Amen. You might try to, or you might try to hide it from your brother or sister, someone in authority. It doesn't really matter. You can try to cover up what you may have done or what you might feel guilty about. But God has a way of peeling back the layers and showing you that you are naked in his sight. There's nothing that's hid from God. And even the thoughts and the intents of the heart are in his view. He knows why some people come to him, and all they do come to him for is this reason, that he might bless them, not because they necessarily want to serve him. He knows that. So that's what I'm saying to you. Stop lying. Because, see, at some point, the Lord knows at some point as you're walking with him and he begins to peel back the layers, he allowed you or allowed himself to be someone that you could rely on. Something that you can trust in so that you would know that he's faithful, but you need to see that you're not. He wants you to understand something about his character because, see, in order for him to expect you to become like him, he has to show you his character first. So he allows you to come into his presence, even unfit, unclean, and pray and say, God, I need this, and him answer you. He answered me when I did not even know who he was. He answered me when I did not ever acknowledge him. There is just certain situations where I felt like my back was against the wall and I cried out to whoever God was in that moment. And I say, God, would you please help me? And he came through so that today I would know him. So don't think you have a special relationship with God because he answered you when you first started out. Because see, with all relationships, our expectations go up. See, I understand. I have a grace for you when you first come to God. But after a while, God is expecting you to walk with him in truth because he is truth. And he will never lie to you. So stop lying to him. Because see, what will keep you stuck longer than anything is if you start lying about where you're at. That's right. If he says, hey, Stephanie, where are you? If he's calling out to you in any form or measure, and especially if he says, I've called you to be this, but you're walking here. You see, when we receive a calling from God, I'm talking about to do anything. I'm not saying to be a preacher or a teacher or a minister, just a calling from God. He's got your attention, and he's wanting you to draw near to him. He is real. He's trying to bring you out of, and I'll tell you, and I really believe this, whenever God calls you, he's calling you out of your darkness. And your darkness is nothing more than your ignorance about his will for your life. Does that make sense? So if what you don't know, God will always continually call you out of it so that you can walk in with him in his marvelous light. So that you might know the truth, not just about yourself, but about how he has orchestrated, how he has called you into his kingdom so that you might know him. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. I'm trying to keep you awake. Some of you look like you're up all night. So you have to understand that God hates lying. He hates it more than you can imagine. I came into service then, and I was somewhat confused, but then God brought back to my remembrance something I had said, and I was like, Lord, but I'm not prepared for that. When something comes out your mouth, you need to know something's going to happen because of it. There's no such thing as idle. There are idle words, but you will be brought into account for every idle word that you speak. Don't just say things just to get people off your back. Don't just say things to get people to just leave you alone. Speak the truth. Because we talked some time back about being your brother's keeper, and one of the things that in Colossians verse 3, verse 9, it says, lie not one to another. Don't lie to each other. Don't lie to yourself. Don't let that be your practice. Because if it's part of your practice, and see, you might say, well, I didn't lie. If you're manipulating someone, you're lying. Manipulation is allowing yourself to be in a situation over and over and over again because you caused it. And then you go for help. You ask people for help rather than relying on God for his help. And so what you're doing is that I look around and I see where I can get help. And if I need this, I'll go to this person. And if I need prayer, I'll go to this person. And if I need some money, I'll go to this person. And if I need this, I'll go to this person. And that's not of God. You're manipulating people. And you're lying. Because, see, this is what I mean. When you go before God, if you pray, God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he may move upon someone's heart to assist you. But when you're manipulating, with even your voice changes. Even your attitude changes. And it's amazing how humble you are when you have a need, but you change after you get it met. That's called manipulating. And it's so easy to do because, sometimes we can walk in life in a certain particular way and we come to God, and if someone doesn't address the way we walk with the way that we walk in our lives, sometimes we think God's approved of it. Sometimes you just don't even know that you're walking wrong until somebody has the courage to tell you you're wrong. And so I would need to tell you that there are going to be times in your life while you're in this church that somebody might get in your face, not to be rude or angry or to be mean, but to tell you you're wrong. You have to be able to receive it, because sometimes that someone telling you the truth is going to save your soul. Not sometimes, every time. Saving of your soul is so important because Christ died for you. And he did not die in vain. Thank you. It was so interesting, Sister Dawn. If you had been on men's call, you would have thought you were the celebrity. I don't say that jokingly. I said it in all sincerity because your message did have impact. But I brought back to their remembrance, and I remembered it as they were speaking. So highly of the message that was taught was that you prayed that that message would have an effect on people. And God just honored your prayer. God will always honor his servants. In every way possible, he will acknowledge that you're in his will and doing exactly what he wants you to do. Amen? Proverbs 6:19, a false witness. Now, I want you to think about this again. As believers, we are called his witnesses. He's called us to be witnesses. So if I'm living contrary to the word of God, I'm going someplace with this. If I am living today contrary to the word of God, I'm not being truthful in my walk. You see, I love the way you taught it, Sister Dawn, the way the Lord brought it out of your mouth when he said that if you're still looking back, are you done with looking back yet? I mean, maybe you don't understand. Maybe you don't understand. When you heard the testimony that Stephanie shared about her son and his perception of the things that Jonathan felt that he was not to him, Stephanie, just as she did with me, could have told him, you're believing a lie. When you're believing a lie and you're carrying it with you, your journey is harder than it is if you're not carrying it. You follow me? If you've hurt someone, if you've wronged someone, that's why the Bible says go to them. If you neglect to have the courage to go to someone and tell them, even I felt that I've done something wrong, or if I'm innocent, or what I said to you didn't harm you or hurt you in any way, let me know that. I said it jokingly last couple Sundays ago that we went on a vacation as a church vacation. And there's a brother that came to me later on. He says, you know, I was in my prayer closet, and when I was praying, God reminded me of what the things that I had said, and some of the things I said jokingly were to you. And then the Lord put in my spirit, he says, maybe you might have offended him. He had enough concern about this body, about these relationships that we have built together, to come to me and say, brother, did I offend you by anything I said to you? And I was just so grateful, not for the fact of him apologizing, but the very fact that he cared enough to come. Care enough to come and ask me. Care enough to come to confront anything that you thought you might have done wrong. If I have offended you, say something to me. Because what happens if you don't say anything, you start thinking different about me. You start walking around offended at me. And I have no knowledge of that what's happened or that's what's transpired. And I said, no, brother. And then the Lord said, you're lying. You see, I don't know what you guys see. I work construction and I work in maintenance. And sometimes your hands can get callous because, see, I carry buckets and tools and your hands can become callous. Sometimes when you go through something so often, your heart can become callous as well. And if you don't understand what that's like, it's like, well, they said it, it's no big deal, keep on going. Oh, they said it's no big deal, keep on going. Oh, they said it's no big deal, keep on going. And all of a sudden, you don't want to be around no more. You start isolating yourself. You start not wanting to go. I don't want to go to those events because that person is there. Breaking bread. Oh, they're having another men's gathering. I don't want to be on the phone with so-and-so anymore because they're always talking about and you don't realize you've been offended by them and you're not dealing with it. Stop lying. See, lying is not acknowledging the truth. Every time that my family has said, Dad, do you realize that you're believing a lie? That was one of the most awkward and funny things to hear, but also to acknowledge that it was true. You never get too old to be told the truth. And you're never too young to receive the truth. And so in hearing someone tell me that I'm believing a lie, I'm like, you mean all these years? All these years, I believed a lie. And believing that lie caused me to feel like I can't be around you or I can't talk to you or I can't fellowship with you. Or I'm feeling guilty because of the lie I believed. I'm feeling heavy. And see, just think about this scenario. Here's Jonathan ready to minister the word of God, and he gets up to come preach, but he's got in his mind, well, I've hurt this one, I damaged this one, I fell short with this one. You follow what I'm saying? I don't know why we keep record, because God doesn't. He says he loves us, and he keeps no record of our wrongs. He doesn't keep record of our wrongs, but we do. We carry it around. And then when you say, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, you're not. When you're carrying things around that God never intended for you to carry. What I said earlier, when I came into service, I wasn't clear because God had to remind me of something that I had said in a previous service. I believe it was on Wednesday that there was going to be a healing service. I don't know if you guys even remember that or even heard it. Guess what today is? I was up this morning. I said, Lord, I'm praying and you're not. And he just had to remind me. You said something that needs to happen. I'll give a little context to those that may not have been here. I was standing in the pulpit one day and I looked out amongst the congregation, like we're sitting here today, and he said, they need to be healed. He said that. But you have to understand something. You are the key to your own healing. Sometimes you need to be healed from your past. And when you're healed from it, don't go back and get it again. We have to say we're done with it. Amen? Some of you were abused at any age that you were abused at. I'm not making light of that, but I'm saying to you, there have been things that have happened in your life that you have to let go of. That's part of healing. How many stripes did the Lord get when he was on the cross? You already know? 39. Save one. It was 39. 39 stripes. And do you know the word heal is in the Bible 39 times? Because He paid a price for your healing. And if you're not walking in wholeness, you're lying to the world. How can we reflect our God, who is a healer, if we're not healed? And then for some of us, we need deliverance. Oh, well, you know, I could make so many excuses. You know, it was so, whenever I want to know about something, I will keep asking God about that thing. But my fallacy is I don't have the same determination to get an answer to prayer. Does that make sense to you? If I'm curious and I want to know about something, I will ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask until I get an answer. But if I want to be healed, I don't go before God's throne and say, Lord, I need to be healed. And Sister Dawn said something. She said, I kept going before God until it was done. I keep going before God. I don't keep bringing it to my brother. I don't keep bringing it to my sister. I don't keep bringing it to my wife. I don't keep bringing it to my friends. I keep going before God until he's done, until he does something about it. Because ultimately, if he doesn't do anything, it won't be done. But are we too busy? Because if you say you are lying. Thank you. It's amazing how we can sit in front of that screen for an hour and can't pray for an hour. It's amazing how we can scroll on our phone for an hour or plus and can't be in his presence. Well, I fall asleep because you're not engaged. Maybe you had too much to eat. Maybe you should fast before you pray. Maybe there has to be a hunger there. Maybe there is always a solution to what you're not. There's no excuse for what you're not. He's looking for us to stop lying to him, and especially stop lying to ourselves. If you partake in this service, in the healing part of it, you're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to say, yeah, I recognize something's wrong, but I'm done with it. And you might think like, well, I can't be crying and weeping and acting like that right now. When else are you going to do it? When else are you going to say, God, I'm going to put it on the line right now. There's something that has been bothering me, something that's been troubling me, and I want it to be over with. And I don't want to carry this around anymore. It doesn't matter what area of your life it is. It doesn't matter what it is, because he is our healer, and he's able. He's able to heal every hurt, every sorrow, and heal every lie. My God. I want you to stand for a moment. And as Pastor had said earlier, I need you to just begin to worship God. And this may sound like a strange thing. Don't be too close to nobody. Can you kind of like, and it sounds weird, but kind of separate yourselves a little bit. So you can really like, sometimes people pray and say, well, I don't want so-and-so to know what I'm praying about. let's separate yourself then. Husbands, wives, I don't care what the relationship is. Just, this is for you. This is for you. It's not to be distracting. It's not to be, but God is able to touch you. He's able to minister to you by his Spirit. He's able to set you free from things that have been in your past and things that you can't go into your promise with. He's ready. He's ready. And so I just want you to worship God for a moment and allow him to search your heart and allow him to allow him to do whatever it is that he wants to do. If you've been offended, let God heal that. But see, I want someone to be far enough away from me where you can say, God, this is what happened, and I want to talk to you about it right now. This is my time with you. This is my prayer closet. This is that place where, Lord, I know that you're able to search the heart. The Bible says his heart. He's able to search our hearts. We can hide it from everyone else, but not from you, Lord. When the Bible says that we have burdens, that means to have a load. We're bearing and we're carrying something. God doesn't want us to carry burdens unless he gives them to us. Because what we do when we have a burden from God, we take it before his throne and we pray about it. Those who are intercessors, please intercede for those who are sincerely reaching out to God right now. Those that are sincerely wanting God to change something. And see, it may just be one thing, and that's all right. Because once that one thing is done, you'll have the faith to ask God for more. You'll have the faith to go further. It could be, you could be asking God to heal relationships in your family. You could be asking God to that there is someone, some of you had hatred in your heart towards people. God wants to heal that so that he can hear your prayers. If there's someone you're having a difficult time forgiving, this is the time that you might forgive them so that God might heal your heart. Lord, as you bring things to our remembrance, as you bring things to our mind, we're going to believe that it's your spirit doing this and that you're not a liar. Get real with God, church. We're not here to talk about it, but where God is able to do something about it. Every disappointment. Even times when you feel you might have disappointed God, give that to him. Don't walk in that. You keep going. You keep walking. For some of you, the Lord says you need to stop judging yourselves. You are not your judge. And he came not to condemn you, nor to find fault with you, but that through him that you might be saved, delivered from the things that have held you bound. Whatever you feel comfortable doing right now, you need to do it. Because you don't need to leave here the same. Because you don't have to wait. Some of you are experiencing and feeling him right now. Lord, the deep things, the things that we even have a hard time forgiving ourselves for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we believe in your word. We believe in your promises. You took those stripes upon your back that we might be healed, that we might be restored, that we might come to you in our time of need so that our walks would be different. Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, he cut up a whole shot at the other, a whole sandor, the Kiara, the Sierra, the Messiah. Things that only you can heal, Lord. Things that only you see, Lord. The Lord said that some of you are pursuing things out of his timing and out of his will. And Father, whatever chaos and problems those situations have caused, we pray that you would heal those situations, Lord. Bring restoration, Father. Bring healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There is nothing in your past, your present, and your future that God cannot fix. And I hope that you're believing what you're praying about right now. I hope you're trusting him. And when you come into his presence, you should come into his presence without feeling the weight of your sin. When you come into, you've already repented earlier. You've already done that part. But Lord, what else would keep me out of your presence? I don't want God plus something else. I just want him. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Can we lift up our hands together just one last time? Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm praying over this congregation even now as I stand before them. And you said that they need to be healed. And I'm asking you, Father, that you would touch each individual person who has their hands lifted up right now, believing and trusting that you're able to do abundantly above so whatever we ask or think. I am grateful, Father, for their willingness to walk with us in this journey for their healing. And, Lord, I pray that those healings and those things that they've let go of would manifest themselves in their lives, restoring to them the joy of their salvation, restoring to them, Hataya Labokoto Ramasaya, the joy that comes from being in your presence, Lord, the joy that we can feel, Hikiara Mahashanda Ramasaya, when we know our hearts are right with you, Father. Cleanse us from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Wash us and we shall be clean. Cleanse us, O God. Lord, help us to have right relationship with you, O God. Lord, let us not walk in your presence and walk out the same. Let it not be in vain, Father. But help us, Jesus, to be honest with you. Because we know that you hate a lying tongue. We know that you hate anything that's not like you. And you're helping us to be brought into your likeness, oh God. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You may be seated for just a moment. I just want to read a few more scriptures in your hearing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 5 reads like this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. And the Bible says transgressions, and I want you to understand what transgression means, to go back and do the thing you did last time. It means to keep repeating the same things over and over again. He died for that. He died for when we have become captivated by a spirit that's even trying to cause us to sin. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we can come under the influence of something or find ourselves being weak enough to come under the influence of a spirit that's telling us to do contrary to the word of God and to the ways of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised. He's the one who suffered. I was in a prayer meeting once, and I thought it was interesting how God said this. He said that your older sons were wounded, but your son that's in the prayer meeting with you right now has just been bruised. So there's degrees in which we've been hurt in our lives. But God heals those things. That's all I'm getting. I want you to understand that if you're healed, you can perhaps give hope to someone else. You might not believe it yet. You may not be there yet. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not we were. or we are going to be, but we are healed. And when you read that scripture, it should give you hope, because no matter what you encounter in your walk with God, God can heal it. And you're going to make mistakes along the way, but God can heal it. You're going to feel that you're inadequate in some areas of your life, but God can heal it. When he says, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed, is because you have brothers and sisters in the church that have gone through or been in the same situation that you've been in, and you can go to them and you can be healed. So he's provided healing throughout this body. Amen? And he's not a God that he should lie. He's not a man that he should lie. His character is such that when he promises us something or anything, especially when he's giving you what people call a rhema word, something specifically tied to you, he's going to come through if you pray, if you ask, if you seek him, if you knock, if you go through that process. There's a process to get anything. It really is. It's not, sometimes some things are just handed to you. But when something is, God really determines your heart or what's in your heart by how you pursue him. You know, if I just went on one date, my wife said yes, that was too easy. If some of you have gone on dates and it's been just one date, it's too easy. You need to, it needs to be a process. You need to make that man work for what he wants. Because there's a reward. And it actually shows you his heart. Are you worth it? The bride of Christ is worth it. And God will pursue you, but the main thing he wants to do is to cleanse you from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And I don't know if you've not encountered this or even thought your flesh was filthy. I'm not talking about dirt on your skin. I'm talking about ideas and thoughts and ways that are just not pleasing to God, that you walk in and that you're willing to die for those ways more so than willing to accept what he's done for you. And we have this saying, none of us are perfect, but we're going on to perfection. Don't stay in that statement, oh, I'm not perfect, and you settle for whatever you give out. You don't allow yourself to change or become better because you're saying, well, no one's perfect. Don't let that be your excuse. Don't let it. Oh, everybody's got problems. Yeah, but you don't have to have the ones you have. Some things you got to let go of and say, no, I don't want this anymore. Because when you overcome not just for you. Thank you. The very word that she said, generation. There are many years have gone by, and I've told my children lots of stories. I've been as transparent as I possibly could with them in a lot of areas of my life so that they would not be ashamed of what they would go through. That being said, there are some things they don't know about me. And I thought after you preach, after you minister to people, God does not let you off the hook. He doesn't let me present something to you that I can't live by. He that teaches another teaches himself also. So that's the benefit in you trying to teach someone a Bible study, because in that Bible study, you're going to be teaching yourself, and you're going to learn what conviction feels like. You're going to learn what it's like to have an actual burden for someone else that's lost. Actually wanting to see someone come to know God in the power of his spirit and see their life change. There's nothing like that. And you might say, well, I'm not that smart. It's not about you. It's not about how smart you are. If you can read, you can teach a Bible study. And sometimes we present God with all these excuses just because we really are just lazy. If you're lazy, you're going to be selfish as well. There's a lot to being lazy. It takes a lot of work being lazy. It really does. It takes ignoring. And the other day, the Lord gave me this analogy, and I was like, Lord, why? He said, if you ignore things, if I ignore the needs of this body, you'll be ignorant. You'll walk in darkness. And see, Without a, what the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision, you're going to have a vice. Something that holds you where you're stuck and you can't go any further. Because God is desiring for us to walk with him, to know who he is. But I'll tell you, especially young people, it's not just God that's coming after you. You have an enemy that you're probably not even aware of. You might already be with him. You might be in his camp already without even really understanding that the music you listen to, the lifestyle that you're living, is just you've ushered yourself into his presence and not known that he's been seducing you all the time. You may not even know that. Because, see, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. You can't say that if you haven't been born again. I hope I'm saying something to someone that hasn't heard this yet. Because if you haven't been born again, you really don't know God yet. You might know of him, but you don't know him. You don't know him intimately. You don't know him the way he wants you to know him. My last scripture, that time is coming. Let's all stand. One of the beautiful things about living for God is this. At some point, what you say, someone will believe it, and they might even come near you and say, "Will you pray for me?" It's not that we have any power in and of ourselves, but we believe the God in whom we serve. So if you're here and you're in a place, and even the short time that we spent praying for your healing, I wanted you to do it by yourself first so that you wouldn't feel that, oh, someone's listening or I'm being accountable to someone else. I wanted you to do that by yourself because when you're in your prayer closet, there's no one else there but you and God. So what's important right now is that if you were there in that moment and you felt stuck, or you felt that God revealed something to you that's a little bit more than you could handle on your own, we're here for you. That's what you need to know. You can come to this altar at any time, and we'll pray for you. As the musicians are playing, and you want prayer, you can come. And I believe God will meet you there as well. And if you don't need prayer, don't run away and say, "Well, I got my need met and it's all over." Remember what we've been teaching. I am my brother's keeper. If you see someone who needs prayer that may not have the courage or may not want to come up front and pray, make yourself a little bit vulnerable. Make yourself a little bit vulnerable and say, "You know, can I pray for you?" It'll mean the world to someone. So if you don't need prayer, let's just open our hearts up to God and say, "Lord, if there's someone here that needs what I have, if there's someone here that needs prayer, help me to be sensitive enough to pray for them. Sensitive enough to love them." Thank you, Jesus. As we are here in your presence, Father, help us to be sensitive to your spirit, to pray for those who are near us. Thank you, Jesus. Sister.